Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. Our goal on this show is to make you a more intelligent real estate investor. And as you know, I'm a long-term buy and hold investor in single families. That's been my game for many, many years. But a common question we get from our audience is about short-term rentals and how to leverage that. And there is quite a game to be played and a lot of money to be made if you do it correctly and you have the right team around you. We have a special guest today who's an expert in the short-term rental space and has figured out and cracked the code on how to do this. My guest is Asif Kafagi. He is the head of TechVestor. And we're going to talk about exactly what this does, how they've cracked the code on short-term rentals and how you can leverage this. So without further ado, Asif, welcome to the show. Welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Clayton. It's great to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. So first of all, take us back. How did you get started in the short-term rental space? You have a really interesting story before you even created TechVestor. I mean, Apple and Facebook. So you were inside the belly of the beast, right?
We were inside the belly of the beast. Sabrina, my co-founder, she built the AirPods product, led that project,
wow,
$1 billion of revenue. And so she's, an operational, genius in every possible way. So she leads us operationally. I spent 5 years at Facebook, building teams, and, they called it a team. I called it a company, going from 89 to 1100 people over a few years, for our team specifically.
Wow.
Was challenging. But we stayed in a bunch of shitty Airbnbs over those years, and we saw the low-hanging fruit that it was as we opened up offices and held events, and we'd stay on poor mattresses and all this, and we're like, wow, we think we could do this better if we applied some technology, automation, some design, and competed against the 99% of mom and pops that are doing this pretty poorly today.
Okay, so let's get into it. So TechVestor is the name of the company. Before we get into, you had the idea because you were there in these Airbnbs, you were having this terrible experience, and you noticed there's a lack of automation. There's adding a layer of sophistication to what was already there, improving upon it, which is something that we know from Apple, right? That's something that they do very, very well, something that's already existent in the marketplace, and they're going to take it to the next level. So when you saw that occurring, what specifically stood out to you that you said, okay, we could improve that thing? Can you give me like 3 or 4 things that you saw that you knew you could improve upon?
Totally. So the first thing was going to be design, right? The experience, your space, your physical space. Nearly every single person on Airbnb was taking photos with an iPhone 4 camera in a space that was designed as if, grandma had done it 45 years ago. It wasn't inviting. It wasn't a place you wanted to, go sleep and visit. And it wasn't authentic to the local experience that you typically expect and want with Airbnb. The second thing was also exactly that, the iPhone 4 photo, I'm not exaggerating, the low megapixel, kind of looks a little scrummy as a photo, and you're scrolling through and you're like, I don't know if I really want to stay there and pay this amount of money to be there. So better photography, better listing. And thirdly is because we had a tech background coming from Facebook and Apple, we understood Airbnb as a product, right? And every product has a user journey, right? Airbnb in its simplicity wants you to take some sort of action, and the action is to book a reservation on their platform. And they lead you through that, the way that their product is built, the way it looks, the way it feels, the automations that are plugged in, the way you rank, right? And that leads me to number four, which is ranking, right? So Airbnb is very much like Google, right? If you type where you want to go and how many people are going and the days you're going there, it wants to show you the most relevant places to increase your chances of booking. And there's a way to actually, quote unquote, hack that algorithm, right? To ensure that you're showing up on pages one and two, et cetera, because the psychology of an Airbnb user is to put in their where they're going, the dates, how many people are going, and then open up 6 or 12 tabs of the places that look interesting based on the photos that they see. They right. go through the listing, the price, and usually they're going to send it over to a group message of sorts and be like, hey guys, I'm thinking about booking one or two of these. Here's my two top favorites or three top favorites. What do you think? And then there's usually a decision maker who's going to pay for it, schedule it, reach out, do the inquiry. So because we understood the product, we built our listings, our photos, our amenities, everything around that specifically. And lastly, it's coming down to pricing, right? So most people today still use what we call static pricing. And dynamic pricing is a little bit more common these days. But dynamic pricing means you're charging more on a Friday than you are for a Monday, right? It's exactly how the hotel and hospitality industry operates. And those are some things that are really, really key when you think about operating an STR. And I know we're going to hop into some other things later, but we on the acquisition side built our own acquisition engine as well. But we'll hold that back for a little bit.
So take me from sleeping on Airbnb beds and in situations like that to launching TechFester. What did you start to put in place that you could say, okay, we want to start taking some of these properties and investing in them ourselves, doing it strategically so that people are seeing a great return, which is what you guys do? Because I think the minimum investment to invest with you guys is like, what, 25,000, right?
Exactly, 25 grand.
And do you have to be an accredited investor or not?
You do have to be an accredited investor. And so we're structured very similar to what many would call a fund or a syndication. And so we do have to follow certain regulatory and compliance laws, right, that allow us to operate and do what we do. But in short, we'll provide you passive cash flow based on a portfolio of short-term rentals that's diversified across 8 states. You simply put up the capital. We handle everything else, right? You don't have to have the time, energy, money, know-how, or want to kind of do it. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
And the story is kind of cool. You know, Sabrina and I, we flew in together and met in July of 2021. We'd been talking about the idea for a while. We launched our first prototype of what we thought we were building was a software company, right? So actually, because our background was tech, to no one's surprise, we launched a software company. Software company was to help other people acquire short-term rentals based on data. We were market mapping. We were understanding exactly what type of product or a buy box in each local market that someone could actually buy and what would give you the highest ROI, right? Data wins nearly every single conversation, and that was our belief. When we launched the software product, people really appreciated the product, really loved the product, but no one wanted to use the product for themselves. In fact, they said, this doesn't really solve my problem. My problem is I want to do this, but I don't want to do it myself. Right. So this is a tool that's great, but I still have to do all the work myself, find it, design it, furnish it, run it, operate it. It's a lot of work. Right. But I want the benefit of it. So, you know, we got 6 or 7 people that we had sold a turnkey short-term rental to. And then as we were sitting there on a Zoom, actually, and they're all talking to each other and we're observing and they're seeing each other's properties, they're describing what's a syndication or a fund because everyone's like, hey, I want a piece of that one. I want a piece of that one. I wish we could share in profits of this entire thing together. And so we said, well, what if that was the structure? Would that make this more interesting? And everyone said yes. So they all rolled it into a portfolio. We would then announce our fund a few days later. We actually went viral in a Discord and got, you know, a few hundred investors in that capacity, raised our first $7 million. And to date, we've raised close to about $21 million in equity in our first year here running and operating the short-term rental portfolio. And happy to say that we've continue to exceed expectations for our pro forma.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. And that's amazing awareness and a pivot to say, we have this amazing data tool, this amazing technology to find short-term rentals, but people are just, I don't want to say too lazy, but it's a lot of work. I mean, that's why that's why what we do at Morris Invest is so powerful, in the same way that what you guys do at TechFester is so powerful. It's that people don't have the time to hire contractors and go out and fix up the property and hire designers. We were just dealing with that on a property we had. It was a nightmare where we had to like hire designers and like we're picking out cement colors for something. We're like, no, we don't do this. Why are we doing this on this property? We just don't do that. So all of that time, attention, and effort, you know, you built and have this amazing software tool to help people do that. In the end, they don't want to do it. They just want to invest. They just want to be able to, you know, go into these properties. So let's talk a little bit about the properties, because if you go to techvestor.com, and you go through sort of how it works on your tech, on your page, you kind of go through the details of it as I have, and you look at over 35 different properties in multiple different states that you're then investing in. What criteria are you looking at when you're picking these properties to invest in for your clients?
Yeah. So we're going to look at it really from a couple of different angles. The first one is always, is it investable? Right. And so we start from, think of it as a funnel, right? We start from the market perspective, right? We're always mapping markets, just like we map data points, right? So we underwrite 18 million data points a month, right? That's how many pieces of data that we look at in some sort of automated fashion to help us make decisions. And so we look at markets. So take, for example, Scottsdale, which is a market that we're in today. So our data will tell us that, hey, Scottsdale is investable based on our buy box criteria, which is achieving a 8, 10, 12% general cash on cash range, right, on an annual basis. About a 10% average over a 5-year period, right, per year. And generally, we want to double our capital every 5 years. That's generally the scope of the thesis of our investment. And so our data will tell us, hey, Scottsdale meets this buy box. It'll actually take it a step further and tell us in Scottsdale, these are the zip codes and the neighborhoods where other top properties are performing. And then based on those top properties, because we never want to sit here and thinking we can recreate history. We want to simply follow history and then improve on it, right? So we want to look at the data today and look at what's working. And then our data will tell us, hey, in this zip code specifically and in this neighborhood, here's the ideal product to buy. And when I say product, I mean buy box. It could be a 5-bedroom, 3-bath with a pool on a 1/4 acre, right? It could be a 4-bedroom with a pool on a 1/2 acre. So we know the exact dynamic. And then we take it even a step further and understand what kind of amenities does this type of product need to have in order for it to rank, for people to want to stay here? And then it takes us even a step further than there. It tells us who comes here, right? Is this a bachelorette party type of a town or a city or a product? Is this a family area? Is this where people are coming for business or for work, right? And therefore, we outfit that home leveraging all these data points to help us understand how we can maximize the ROI, right? And then from there, obviously, we implement incredible design. I'm super happy with our team over this past quarter. We launched a pink themed Barbie-like home, right? Which is really awesome in Scottsdale. We launched a breakfast at Tiffany's themed home. We launched a Saturdays is for the boys type home as well. All those were in Scottsdale, but that same theme would not work in another market of ours like Clearwater, right? Clearwater is gonna be a little bit more family friendly, closer to the beach. You're going to get these beautiful pops of color, right? Like think like grapefruit and like lemon, et cetera.
You're going to go to Clearwater to watch the Phillies in spring training. And that's why you go to Clearwater, Florida. that is their home of it. Yes, that's their grapefruit league, right? Yeah. That's where you go to see the Phillies in spring training. We would go there every spring to watch them. So yeah, totally different than Scottsdale. And that's great. I didn't realize that the homes that you were designing are not all of them, but some of them have these themes. And I think this pops up a lot. A lot of times you'll see on social media, like my wife will share a story or my friends will share a story back and forth. They're like, we got to go stay in this house. And it's like a tree house in Maine or something, you know, but it's not just a tree house. It's got full running water and you're in the trees and you can stay there for 2 nights and it's an amazing experience and all of these things. You're not going to live there, but you might stay there for 2 days on a special trip. And is that kind of the angle you were going for with some of these designs?
Absolutely, right? And it's a trade-off, right? So these types of homes are going to book for ridiculous premiums, right, on some nights, and then they're not going to have the biggest, best occupancy in certain months as well, right? So it's a trade-off you make by understanding the data in the market. So in a market like Scottsdale, we have both homes, both types of homes, the one that's very static, just very well designed, less themed, books out really well, drives a really great premium. You also have another home, like the homes that we kind of discussed earlier, that's going to have a little bit less occupancy, but you're going to get these ridiculous premiums on ADRs because people want to go stay there. It's Instagrammable. It's viral, right? And naturally, people eat with their eyes first. So the way Airbnb is built as a product and connecting it back to that, especially as they shifted their product in May of this year, is about surfacing experiences, right? Experiential stays. That's really what their product is about. So having a portfolio that is a bit of this and a bit of this is part of our strategy for this well-diversified portfolio that our investors get to participate in.
Because I see that
all that is
no, that's amazing. Because I, and not to interrupt, but I think that that's one of the big concerns that I've always had about short-term rentals, is that you've got to, first of all, in my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but to do it correctly, if you're doing it on your own, if you had a Costa Rica, for instance, a place where people are going to go year round and you're going to have that constant cash flow, great. But then there's a lot of times where your short-term rental is going to be vacant because it's just seasonal. If you're in the mountains, maybe, it's not going to work. Maybe certain times of the year during the holidays, maybe after the holidays, there's going to be dead periods. So how do you mitigate that as an Airbnb short-term rental investor and building out a portfolio like that? And you guys have cracked the code, at least for accredited investors, which is, well, they don't have to worry about it because when the Barbie house is not performing at the moment, because it's an off-season moment, well, the houses in Clearwater are performing. So your cash flow or then your return still stays consistent. Am I wrong about that?
That's absolutely right. And there's no way you can get the diversification that you get with us with a single $25,000 investment if you did it on your own, right? You would need 10 times the amount of money or arguably 100 times the amount of money to get the same level of diversification that you get with us. And a note on occupancy as well, what you brought up about this, potential fear of occupancy or is someone going to stay at my property is one of the exact reasons why we're huge believers why short-term rentals should not be invested in on a one-by-one basis, right? Having a diversified portfolio professionally managed by a company like ours, right? Or in a structure of a fund like ours, right? Let me just share with you the data as of our last quarter.
Yeah.
We drive 52% more occupancy than the average property in markets that we're in. Our properties generate 45% more revenue than the average property of the markets we're in. Why? Design, technology, automation, structure, all this stuff, understanding, and because it's all we do, right? If you're going to manage a short-term rental yourself and get the best bang for your buck, because you're not going to go hire a 40% of gross revenue property manager, you're going to do it yourself. But what you're getting a job, right? It is not an easy thing to do. You're paying yourself to do a job and it's not going to work for you long-term. And you're not going to get the diversification that we have, right? Seasonals, right? Florida, right? Three seasons out of the year, it's amazing, right? But it's got its ebbs and flows. Scottsdale, amazing. January, February, March, April. What does anyone want to go to 120 degrees in the summer? Some people do, but you're going to get less premium, right? And so how do you balance that out? And that's absolutely some of the stuff that we solve in our diversified approach.
And I mentioned, well, you got some of these spring training markets I hadn't thought of because with the Cactus League out there in Scottsdale, if you're going to see the San Francisco Giants play in the Cactus League. Smart. And I always love going to those areas because I'm a huge baseball fan. So going to those areas and experiencing those places are amazing towns. So for someone who is not an accredited investor, who's listening to this show and who maybe wants to start thinking about they've got this property or they're going to buy one and they want to do a short-term rental, what advice would you give to that person now, given the current state of where we are, 2022, 2023, with the state of Airbnb? First of all, could you give me like a 30,000 foot level of the status of Airbnb? And then could you give maybe some advice specifically about for, maybe that weekend warrior who wants to do a short-term rental play, what advice you might give to that person on how to stage it, how to set up their property properly, and how to kind of win at the Airbnb game?
Yeah, I think the state of the market in 30 seconds or so, in our opinion, is it's hotter than ever, right? I think you have a shift in mobility in remote work and remote first. And if there's one investment ideology that's held true for the test of time is follow the tailwinds, right? The tailwinds always win long-term. You go back to the 90s when self-storage wasn't super sexy, right? Amazon comes out and says, we'll ship anything to your door. And now people need places to store their things, right? And it's about human behavior and human psychology, and invest in those things that drive human behavior will always win over the test of time. In terms of how to win in the Airbnb game, you know, it's actually a lot of low-hanging fruit first. The first thing I would suggest is always follow the data, right? I think a lot of times we see people who get into a DIY situation think they can do better than the market, right? We have these self-egos, right? That are like, I can do better than this, or I can do better than that person. Don't think you can do better than anyone else, right? Follow the data. Invest where it makes sense first based on the current data. That'll save you. You make money on the buy. Anyone who's in the real estate knows you got to make money on the buy, not on the sale first. Secondly, invest in the things that make sense from a data perspective, right? Hot tubs, right? Depending on the market you're in, huge ROI investment, right? But like, great thing to have. For example, some markets, it's a putting green, right? Know what's in your market and invest in those things, and then don't invest in other things. Oftentimes what we see with DIY short-term rental investors, their first time, they design and build the home for themselves, not for the person who's staying there, right? And so unless you plan on using this home 6 months out of the year, 3 months out of the year, something substantial, and it's not really an investment, it's a second home, then outfit the home for your avatar of who's coming. And that avatar may not be you. And that's okay, right? But like, follow the data of what that suggests. In terms of pricing, people leave 10, 20, 50% of money on the table because you're not using dynamic pricing. There are free tools out there to get started. There's paid tools. We recommend tools like Price Labs. We know the guys over there. We know the guys over at Wheelhouse. They're fantastic. Use something, okay? And lastly, if you can approach the situation from an investment perspective, consider using a professional management company, but underwrite for it. If you're the one who's going to be managing the property, there's a cost to that, right? It's not a scalable approach unless you're going to do forever. And once you start tacking on a property management fee, the returns will go down. So does that return still allow you to do what you need to do, and does scale matter to you, right? Are you trying to buy one? Are you trying to buy 10? Strategies are very different, whether you buy local or you buy out of state, all these things will matter, right? But design, amenities, data, all these types of things are incredibly important to take into account.
I love that. So don't design. So a couple of things there, a couple of key takeaways. Don't design the house for yourself. You're not staying there. And maybe you are, but like, really, you're going to stay there maybe a few days a year. Okay. And most of the time you want it to be a cash flowing property. So don't build it for yourself, build it for the market. Do your research to find out what's in that market. I want to come back to that point in a second. Make sure you have a property management team. Like, we don't do this to create, you know, another job for ourselves. Like, we want the passive income. So figure that out ahead of time. Use the dynamic pricing options. I didn't think about that. Definitely important, right? Because as the seasons shift, you don't want to be left $1,000 cheaper than the other properties just because you didn't know how to change your pricing, right? Because people are like, what? Why is that house $1,000 cheaper than the other one? Because you didn't have the tools, simple tools in place to make and go with the marketplace at the right time of the year. Come back to that real quick before we get you out of here on that data point. When you're doing your research initially, how are you finding, like, when you're deciding where to put the property, to build the house, to invest, what things are you looking for specifically, you know, to make that decision? You know, you might be sitting there and thinking, okay, it's near a lake over here. It's near this golf course over here. It's near this. What kinds of things are you looking at to make that initial plunge?
Yeah. So for a couple of things, you know, I think in the short-term rental space, one of the first things you have to call out is regulation, right? Not every home is allowed to be a legal short-term rental, right? And there's regulatory risk in some markets versus others that are more than others, right? So we invest in two primary types of markets, one where regulations already exists, right? And those things are dependent. For example, a market like the Poconos has $3 billion a year of revenue from short-term rentals that funds schools, roads, things. It's never going anyway. In a state of Arizona, it's illegal to ban short-term rentals at the state level. So therefore, there's a lot less regulatory risk. Wow. Second of all, understand what your capacity and what you're looking for in a return is. And for us, that's going to be hitting somewhere between 8, 10, 12% cash on cash, right? Good conservative leverage, long-term fixed rate debt, those types of things. And then the house itself is going to be very different per market, right? The buy box, understand your buy box per market. We call it a golden circle internally. This golden circle, everything we want, if it's inside this golden circle, we buy it. If it's not, we don't, right? Now, as the market changes, our golden circle changes, right? If you go back 2 years ago when prices were just off the rockers, like cash offers left and right, different market than we are in today. If prices came down 10%, all of a sudden my golden circle looks a little different because my price to rent ratio actually makes more sense, right?
Right.
And then when you think about the tools, right, there's amazing tools out there. Shout out to, you know, companies like AirDNA, shout out to companies like Rabu, All the Rooms. There's a lot of data, both paid and free, that you can go look at things like supply and demand, right? Understand who's coming, when are they coming, how many Airbnbs exist in that market, what's going to give you a competitive edge, right? And that's why we take data very, very seriously with the way we approach how we buy, what we operate, and how everything goes from there. Lastly, it's always important to remember that if you're getting into this for the first time, you're going to make mistakes, right? And so it's about not making the costly ones, right? Don't go in and, like we talked about, not building it for yourself. Don't buy a $3 million home that you think can do X, right? Don't buy the $100,000 home that you think can do X. Follow the data. I can't stress that enough. Data will tell you all. And like, we use advanced level data, right, where we can pull specific property information, booking history, VRM data. And, you know, we do expansive pivot tables and analysis and software automation. But there's a lot of tools out there that do it for you in a much more simpler way that'll give you high level data to help you understand why you should be buying in this market or why you shouldn't be buying in this market. Right. And understanding those types of nuances and specifics will be very key to your success.
Love it. Tons of knowledge bombs today from you. So thank you so much for that. That's really, really fascinating. You've definitely cracked the code on this. So where can people learn more about how to invest with Techvestor? What's the process look like? And tell us more. Where can people go? We'll have links and everything in the description of the show. But why don't you give us, if people are driving right now and they want to take action on something?
Yeah, you can head over to techvestor.com. You can learn a little bit more about us on our website. You can also request an invite. That invite will allow you to book a conversation with someone on our investor relations team where you'll learn a little bit more about the opportunity and if this is a good fit for you. We lead with education. So please ask any and all questions. Make sure it's a good fit for you. And assuming you're a qualified investor, you'll be invited to an opportunity to invest with us, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for that and for sharing all of your thoughts about short-term rentals, the state of the market, and how to crack this code. Really, really fascinating, eye-opening to say the least. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Clayton. Have a great one.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. Really fascinating conversation. Take action on the things that you learned. If you were waiting to jump into the short-term investment game, and this is something that you've been putting off for a long time, take the notes that we just talked about. Go back and listen to the websites that were talked about in this show. We'll have links in the description below for you to take action on those other things. And if you're an accredited investor, of course, take action there as well. So our thanks to all of you for listening. To go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.